amorous pleasure doesn't reduce itself to a merely pleasant but very short sensation. It can be much more, and this can happen only by understanding and making love with sexual continence. Here are 20 reasons why you should make love for hours on end. Next, we present a beautiful article on how to become a cosmic couple using the example of the inseparable divine couple, Brahma, who represents the creative aspect, and Saraswati, who represents the creative energy. We conclude today's podcast with part 2 of our in-depth exploration into consecration, followed by the meditation of the state of consecration, during which we find ourselves mysteriously closer to God. Stay tuned together with your yogi hosts, Amaris, Tiger Lily, and Valentino.
Welcome to Tantra FM, a step into bliss. I'm your host, Amaris.
Twenty reasons for making love with continence for hours on end. The amorous pleasure doesn't reduce itself to a mere pleasant but very short sensation. It can be much more, but this can be achieved only by understanding and by constantly making love with sexual continence. What is sexual continence? Implying sexual intercourse with no emission of semen, but reaching of an unlimited number of orgasms by both lovers at the same time or separately, sexual continence is based on a full and conscious control of the sexual function by the man and by the woman. Therefore, this way of experiencing the intercourse does not end with the man's semen emission or with an explosive discharge of the woman's sexual energy. The woman loses her sexual energy during an explosive orgasm, just the same as a man during an ejaculatory orgasm. So even women have to practice sexual continence in order to reach more elevated types of orgasms. As a superior form of eroticism, sexual continence makes possible the biological transformation of the sexual creative potential into superior forms of energy, like mental and spiritual energy, through stimulating some ineffable processes of inner sublimation. By successfully carrying out sexual continence, the amorous experiences plenary, while the sensation of being exhausted and sleepy, which accompanies the man's semen emission and the woman's explosive orgasm, disappears. In time, the woman can reach the orgasm every time she wishes to, and the couple's harmony and happiness grows. According to the Oriental view, this way of constantly making love with sexual continence turns into a gradual, progressive dilation of the human being's subtle bodies, and this causes ecstasy. Why is continence necessary in lovemaking? Because 1. It harmonizes the structure of the body naturally and quickly. Intercourse experienced with continence is not only extraordinarily pleasant, but moreover, it is equivalent to 1 hour of playing tennis or to 45 minutes of jogging. Besides the anti-stress molecules, endorphins, which are produced by secretion through prolonged sexual pleasure, these molecules may alleviate bulimic attacks as if by magic. Thus, one may give up jogging or the monotonous weight loss treatment in favor of the frantic love games with sexual continence. 2. It regenerates the blood. From 15 breaths per minute at rest, during intercourse with continence, due to excitation, one can attain 30 breaths per minute. Therefore, both the male body and the female one are better irrigated and better oxygenated. Thus, almost all of the residues of carbon dioxide are quickly burnt and the blood is regenerated naturally. 3. It naturally and quickly stimulates digestion. According to some research, the saliva which is spontaneously exchanged between the two lovers during intercourse experienced with sexual continence facilitates digestion and has good and deep effects upon the strengthening of the immune system. 4. It regulates the menstruation naturally and diminishes it very much, reducing it up to 1 or 2 days. A reduced or disorganized sexual life without sexual continence is often translated for a woman into an irregular, long-lasting, 6 to 7 days, menstruation, which appears to be or is in a great quantity, or even painful. On the contrary, sexual intercourse always experienced with continence supports, among others, the hormonal equilibrium, and it implicitly regulates the menstruation. On the other hand, specialized investigations have shown that women who have tens of multiple and prolonged orgasms without discharging of sexual energy produce a great quantity of endorphins by secretion and have a short-lasting, regular, and painless menstruation. In the case of those women who have been practicing this kind of love for a long time, the menstruation can be stopped for 3 to 4 months consecutively, and women feel wonderful and are full of energy. 5. In the case of women, sexual continence leads to a natural growth of the breasts. Due to intense excitation and the increase of blood flow, breasts may naturally increase their volume up to 25% during a sexual intercourse experienced with sexual continence. It has been proven that the breasts become more sensitive to sensuous caresses, which easily produce delicious sensations for the woman. 6. It accelerates the intestinal transit. The deep and extensive contraction of the abdominal muscles, which takes place during the intercourse experienced with sexual continence, produces a complex and natural abdominal massage, which stimulates intestinal transit, among others. 7. It naturally tones up the abdominal muscles. When making love with sexual continence, intensely and often or for a long time, the abdominal muscles are pleasantly and naturally stimulated. The stimulator is the diaphragm. Placed between the abdominal belt and lungs, this important muscle contracts rhythmically and harmoniously due to the acceleration of the breath, and thus it stimulates the abdominal muscles. 8. Sleep is improved, and the hours needed for sleeping decrease naturally. It is known that, generally, prolonged pleasure is an excellent sedative for the man, but it acts almost like for the woman. These extraordinary tranquilizing and calming effects are produced by endorphins. 9. It diminishes, and in time it dissolves anxiety. Making love only with continence quickly endows us with qualities, among which we should remember the lack of stress, deep relaxation, high spirits, euphoria, and a sense of humor. Responsible for these effects is the massive secretion of endorphins, which appears in the moment of the orgasms with no semen emission in the case of the man and with no discharge of sexual energy in the case of the woman. At the same time, because it implies physical activity, the experience of making love with sexual continence frantically allows others the quick elimination of muscular, nervous, and emotional tensions. 10. It naturally stimulates the circulation of the blood. During sexual excitation, blood flow significantly grows both in the erogenous zones and in the whole body. Then the arteries relax easily. Also, the intense pleasure which is produced makes them gradually dilate, thus stimulating a good physical condition and immense happiness. become the cosmic couple, Brahma and Saraswati. Brahma, the creator, wanted it to be that way, and thus he created the principle of the universe. The primary energy came out from him, and the mind came out from this energy. Then there were the subtle elements, and from them the multitude of worlds. Finally, from this world's humans' actions, came the chain of cause and effect. Mundaka Upanishad. The inner creative attitude. In order to progress on the love path and to complete oneself, the human has to adopt an inner creative attitude, which means a positive mental attitude. This has to express the dynamic of life and has to spring out from an ideal, a purpose in life. Such an attitude is better called and categorized as cosmic optimism. It consists in recognizing and identifying oneself with the primary energy that created everything. The creative attitude gives us an advantage because it gives the possibility to contact the source of our own being, along with the unlimited capacity for spiritual evolution. This attitude has to mark our behavior every moment, and to be the pillar that we lean on in everyday life. It means trust, the recognition of the divine in each and every one of us, the belief that we're embodiments of some superior principles that we can only reach through spiritual knowledge. The creative attitude is itself a part of the evolution process. The worldly, physical boundaries can be easily overcome by approaching such a creative attitude and by applying it with wisdom. For example, the same technique has brought notable success in commerce. The ones involved in this kind of activity can mobilize themselves so that they imagine that they're full of benefic, attractive energy. It makes an unbeatable barrier for doubts and negative emotions. As far as tantric sexuality is concerned, there are many barriers that have to be overcome. And a bracing creative attitude is also the one that works wonders by eliminating a lot of doubts and uncertainties. It works at the same time as a great virility force. Impotence and sexual frustration are direct effects of a lack of sincerity and affective openness. It finally leads to a feeling of inner emptiness, and for people like this, life begins to have no meaning. By looking up to high spiritual ideals all the time, we will feel full of a creative attitude and a permanent creative capacity. Gaiety and a contagious good mood will open doors to wonderful possibilities for you. And when such a state appears while making love with sexual continence, there will be incredible types of wonderful feelings and emotions in your lives. Brahma and Saraswati. Saraswati, Brahma's spouse, shines even more than the light of 10 million moons. The celestial fire purifies her jewels. She is the mother of the Vedas. She is nature herself, and the master of arts and sciences. Saraswati is smiling all the time, and she is unbelievably beautiful. Her body is covered with jewels and pearls. Saraswati Stotra. Brahma is the name of the creative aspect of the divine. His symbol is the golden egg, or the aura. In tantric cosmology, Brahma represents the embodiment of the entire creation. Because he governs all destinies and things in the world, it is very important and necessary for you to become Brahma, or to have Brahma in your favor. Oriental teachings say that you can become a certain thing by identifying with it. Thus, by identification, the power of creativity is in your hand at any time. By seeing the identity between your own being and creation, there is a new conscience that radiates from the center of the golden egg. An efficient technique of identification with Brahma and with the universal creative energy, is that of imagining and visualizing yourself as being surrounded by an aura in the shape of an egg, shining golden yellow, or by an aura full of positive energy. Imagine how bright rays, full of warmth and force, go from this aura and spread around, lighting and feeding life. The senses are creativity's instruments. Their origin is in the inner subtle domain of Brahma. They have their manifestation in the physical reality, and you know them as the organs of senses, the eyes, the nose, the mouth, the ears, and the skin. Esoteric tradition considers the mind to be the instrument of a sixth sense. Saraswati is the name that Hindu people give to the feminine counterpart of Brahma. She's seen as the master of the 64 arts, from which the art of loving is considered as the first and most important. The feminine energy, or the Shakti, represents the creator's power. Without it, there is no creation. Thus, Brahma and Saraswati make the inseparable cosmic couple, as well as the creative aspect and the creative energy. This dual principle belongs to every act of creation. The unity between these two primary principles is a very important aspect of the tantric erotic game. When the two lovers identify themselves with these high ideals, all the aspects in relation to their intimate relationship become extremely important and gain a profound significance. This is extremely important in the art of loving. Saraswati's symbol is an Indian musical instrument with seven strings, known as the veena. The shape of this instrument resembles a woman's body, and the sound that it produces is just like a wonderful voice. The veena represents the instrument of the senses, Brahma's pleasure. By playing this instrument, Saraswati expresses her ecstatic joy. The seven strings of Saraswati's instrument symbolize nature structured in its evolution, the seven rays of creation, or the natural order of the transformations that we see all around us. In science, we can find this division to seven in the periodic table of the elements. In music, there are seven notes in the scale. Rays of light divide into seven basic colors, and there are also seven evolutionary stages in tantric theory. This principle of seven belongs also to esoteric literature. Both Brahma and Saraswati must be visualized with a shining golden light. Just like the sun, they spread a blissful, creative light filled with energy. By identification with these superior truths, any couple can advance on the tantric path. This identification supposes that there is a specific, abstract meditation and an interior special power. By becoming Brahma and Saraswati, the tantra couple will be able to evoke the archetype that created them and that defines them. Except for Brahma, who is the Supreme Self, there is only space. Besides space, there is the air. Besides air, there is fire. Besides fire, there is water. Besides water, there is earth. Besides earth, there is vegetation. Besides vegetation, there is food. Besides food, there is the body, and there is also the entire of humanity. Taittiriya Upanishad. When there is a complete identification with Saraswati, all 64 arts become immediately known. Saraswati is the mother of the four Vedas, the auspicious goddess. Saraswati Stotra. Brahma initiated the process of creation. After dividing itself into a man and a woman, these two made love, and thus appeared the entire category of mortals, the Shiva Purana.
This is Tantra FM, a step into bliss. I'm your host, Valentino. On Consecration, Part 2. There are some questions about consecration which I'm going to answer right now because I regard this as an extremely important issue. But before answering them, I want to draw your attention to another very important aspect. Some people think that if they did a consecration in the morning, for the whole day, it won't be necessary to do another one when they are about to make love. This is absurd. The morning consecration is considered a general consecration that refers to your general integration during the day. But truly important actions such as making love require a special, distinct, and precise consecration. So, taking into consideration that such a consecration will not take more than 5 minutes, 1 minute for even less important actions, I suggest that you make it. This will have an extraordinary influence on your spiritual evolution and will integrate you in what we call karma yoga, instantaneous yoga, which permits you to be close to the infinite and to God. Question: how is the consecration of an action performed effectively? Answer: it is performed primarily with total sincerity, and it is like an offering that is given to God, like a gift only for Him. Thus the fruits of the action are truly His. For example, let's start from something simple. Let's say that at a certain moment, you wake up in the morning and decide to go and buy milk for your mother. You get dressed, take some money in a bag, and leave to buy milk for your mother, thinking something like this: the fruits of the actions I am engaging in now are for my mother, who will be very happy that I bought milk for her. I am not doing this for me. I don't even like milk. But I will do it anyway because my mother likes milk and she will be glad when she comes back from work and sees 2 liters of milk which I bought for her. When she arrives, I will tell her, "Mother, I give you these 2 liters of milk. They are yours." In this case, the actions involved in going to buy milk and even the milk you bought are used exclusively to please your mother. The fruits of these actions belong entirely to her. You can be glad that your mother will be glad, but even so, the joy that she will feel because you bought her some milk will belong entirely to her. The same way, in the situation when we offer the fruits of an action to God, we should, with the sincerity and candor of a child, consecrate what ought to belong to us, or what should follow after that action, so that it won't come back to us, but to God instead. If we do this, even if we don't know about all the complex metaphysical theories, in the moment when we give or think that we will give the fruits of the action to God, we will feel inside an ineffable state of communion, like we are charging up with a transcendent, ecstatic flow, which will almost always manifest in our being from top to bottom. You will feel how it enters through the top of the head and flows through us like a flood of divine grace. This indicates that the divinity has accepted the fruit that was offered. This state confirms that the consecration was successful, and then we can be sure that the action we're going to perform is inspired by God, is supported by Him, and belongs entirely to Him, with us acting as an instrument through which God's power is manifested. Thus, we are only the conduit, and God is the one who will reap the benefits. The fruits belong to Him, both those which will come after 1 hour and those which will come after 5 years, 10 years, 100, 200, or 800 years. All these fruits belong entirely to Him. We have to offer the fruits of our actions to God in a state of sincerity and with much anticipation. And when we feel this transfiguring, elevating, ecstatic answer, which gives force, strength, and perhaps even some thoughts which will help us improve the action we're going to perform, we can say that we have truly consecrated the fruits of our actions to God, and it was accepted. In the situation where your consecration is not followed by this answer, it means that the divinity does not accept the respective action and you should not perform it. We must stop because something is wrong. If God does not accept this gift of ours, it means that something is not harmonious, either in us or in the being with whom we want to perform that action, or at that particular moment, or for reasons that only God knows. This absence of an answer should make us understand that the offering is not received. Then we should definitely stop. Because if we do it anyway, its fruits will surely chain us and we shall have no other choice but to receive them through a future incarnation. This is inevitable.
Hello, and welcome to Tantra FM, the guide to sacred love. I'm your host, Tiger Lily. Let us perform a meditation with the following theme, the state of consecration. In order to help our concentration and to create a better resonance with the aspect we are meditating upon, we shall use a musical support. Sit down on a chair with your spine straight or assume a meditation pose, such as Sukhasana, Vajrasana or Padmasana. For those of you who are still unfamiliar with these positions, you can learn about them on www.shivashakti.com. Make sure your spine, neck and head are straight and in a vertical position. Relax your entire body. Empty your mind and acquire a strong inner focus. Do not allow anything to disturb your concentration at this point. Start breathing deeply and rhythmically. With each inhalation, imagine that you are bringing peace and harmony into your being. Also, with each exhalation, imagine that you are eliminating all tension, stress, and anything else that might disturb your meditation. Now we are ready to begin. It is time to focus our mind and meditate upon the state of consecration.
Thank you.
That's all we have time for today. I'm Tiger Lily, wishing you love and light.